to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The life of Christ in us attracts responsibility. The life of Christ in us, what does it attract? Responsibility. Praise God. Say responsibility. Responsibility. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Catilas Teketi, in that he died for all, that they that live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but for he that died for them and rose again. In that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves. Who knew where that is? Where that's in the Bible? 2 Corinthians what? 5 verse. Huh? Okay. Praise God. Ojut is in 3 verses, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Say the love of Christ constrain us. His love constrain us. See that 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you have to know something in this place. When you don't take time to our prayers, when you don't pray, when we tell you to pray, when time for the word, when you joke with the time of prayer and the time of the word, let me just be very frank with you. In this place, it's dishonor to not only God, also to your pastor. Because that is what he values. It doesn't have any other weapon. It doesn't have any other way of doing things than we study and we pray. Amen? Amen. So those are times that you don't joke with. You don't joke with. We study and we pray. Praise God. Yes, we have visitors tonight, so they came to learn the word. We have said, creation themselves shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Say Rema. Say Remo. No, we have Rema. We have Remo. Hallelujah. When the Rema is beyond ordinary Rema, take it to the next level. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Just climb the heights. Climb the heights. God did not show you the heights because you can't climb them. Climb the heights. Just climb. 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 Yeah. In fact, there are things that you could have easily flew over, but climb this one. Climb it. Develop stamina. Develop consistency. Climb it. Climb the heights. Don't skip the process. Climb it. Use the effort. Use the energy of God. Climb it. Climb it. Don't always look for a shortcut. Climb it. For the sake of others that you meet in future, climb this one. Climb it. Use your strength. Use the effort. Climb it. Ko for Santo Malama Kozava Lama Shanta Maka Prola Mastege Valende. See, your own result will be different, okay? It will be different. It will be the result of God. Oh, glory. It will be the result of God. It will be what God expects of you. It will be what God expects of mankind. Your own result will be different. It will be long-lasting. You just climb it. Climb it. You stay there. You climb. You stay there. You endure. You endure the process. You climb. Yes, you endure the process. You climb. Amen, amen. Can the Bible be wrong, part 6? Close that door so more do not come in. That's what you should have done since. When you see one or two, close the door. Put on the big at the back, big light. Simply devoted to you. Good. Oh Lord, diverse traffic. Lose my life to follow you. Yeah. This life that I live is not a daily. Put up this one. I mean to live is Christ. Amen, amen. Praise God. Okay. Let's do it this way. Just open that 2 Timothy chapter. So don't forget what I said. You don't dishonor times of prayer and times for the word. You don't dishonor them. You treasure them. Amen? You treasure them. Oh, just, you can go and be killing your things there. You can put all of them into water. We eat them at home. Praise God. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You can actually capture some of them at the back there. Not here. Not in front. I will not. It's time for the word, right? Okay. So, chapter 3, are you there? Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, a lot of people just look at this. You don't see what Paul was actually talking about. Just rush down to verse 7. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so also do all this restricted truth. Men of corrupt men, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now, see verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my" what? Number one, my what? My doctrine. Number two, my... So, is it only doctrine that is important? No. That would mean if you can trust a man enough in doctrine, you should be able to look at the way he presents the doctrine and copies too. You should be able to look at the way he's how conservative he is in a lot of things, and you should copy it too. Praise God. Say doctrine. Say manner of life. Now, okay, say he went higher. Say purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. So it's under discipleship, it's just about you pick a man and you follow him. If you remember, I have told you, I said the best thing you should do as a Christian is to be careful about selecting a pastor. Right? Be careful about selecting one. Don't just select one. Well, after you have selected one, what should you do? Trust him enough to grow you up. Trust him enough to grow you up. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Praise God. So he say, "You have known all this about me." Now, see where I'm actually going. He spoke about persecution, but verse 13 said, "But evil men and seducers." Seducer, seduction in this way does not mean man or woman or anything. No, seduction is talking about deceiving people. He said, "They shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." See, the act of man is actually complex. Like, a man can deliberately choose to be a deceiver, and he will intentionally be excelling in the ministry. Do you understand? Some men, they can actually say, "Okay, I will be a deceiver," and they will decide to excel in the ministry. And that's why he said they will become worse and worse. Like the man of God, I shouldn't call him a man of God. The one that said that, even if God appeared to me and tells me that seed sowing does not work, I will tell God that you don't know. He said it himself. He thought he was joking. I was like, "Is it no way? That's heavy." So, is that a man to correct? That's not a man to correct. What else can you say to him? He said, "If God tells me that seed sowing does not work, say we tell God that, God, it works." So, that is like beyond repentance. I'm not saying he's going to hell. I'm saying beyond in ministry, he's ready that this is my way. They will wax worse and worse. That is why we don't make friends with some people. It's not necessarily trying to, we don't, it's not necessarily trying to say, let's just try to mark things off. It's not to mark up. Disclaimer is disclaimer. Okay, let me stay with scriptures this evening. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Next verse. Want to go? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise. Okay, we take verse 15 again. Some people are not there. 15 again, want to go. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. So the Holy Scripture there was a Greek word. Grammar, right? So he's saying you have known the content, the information, the thought pattern of the Scripture. Next verse, verse 16, yes. All Scripture are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine number two. What's another meaning for reproof there? Evidence, right? Say evidence. Good. Next. For correction. Instruction in what? In righteousness. Why? That the man of God thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. From that context, what will be the good work that the man of God will be prepared for? From that context, from where we have just read, everything from A to A, from verse 1 to where I am. Remember? Correction, yes. And why must we seek so much to excel in this? Because we have deceivers out there. We have deceivers. Because he told them, he said something in verse. He said, that's true. Go back up. Verse 9, want to go? But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto. How will this happen? Because the man of God is strong in what? Doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction, and righteousness. How would their folly be made known? It's not God that will do something supernaturally. People love to say, well, let's leave them to God. God will deal with them. Don't pray God deals with them. Praise God. Don't pray such. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15? Is it 15:13? He said, every tree my heavenly Father has not planted, they shall be what? Rooted out. And he was speaking about preachers of false doctrine, not talking about the pounded jam you ate in the dream that you think has not digested. Praise God. It's because you have not drank water upon it. You eat in the dream when you wake up. What do? You drink water. Praise God. Okay. It's not doctrine. It's not doctrine. It's just advice. Amen. So now, verse 16 said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So he's talking about the book. So the graphic, right? So let's look at that documentation again today. It will be brief. I wish to stop just a few minutes past three. So, the people a book is named after, or the main character of a book, are not always the author. Either that you hear 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, does not mean Samuel is the author of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. I've told you in this place, e.g., the story in the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, it spans beyond the lifespan of Samuel himself. So that a book really majored on a man, or that a book presents his name by so and so, does not mean what? He is the author. That is the one that authored the book. So today we'll be looking at really authorship. Just briefly, can the Bible be wrong? If you have not followed this story, this our series is exciting. Really exciting. You need to go to from 1. This is 6. We are still going to maybe, let me say, 12 to 14. And we stop and look at something else. Praise God. But I didn't think this is what we'll be doing on Sunday. Amen. So, e.g., if you look at the book of Job again. Are you with me, everybody? Ensure you write as much as you can. Ensure you listen. Ensure you open your Bible. So, e.g., if you look at the book of Job again, there is a disconnection in the thought pattern somewhere in the book of Job. E.g., how come We have Satan mentioned in chapter 1 of Job, but Job in his words never mentioned Satan. In chapter 1 and 2, we found Satan there. But in all the, when Job was talking, he never said, Satan did this to me. He should have even said, it is Satan plus God. He could not discern Satan at all. So there is a disconnection in the thought pattern in the book of Job. Job 1 verse 6. Because if Job saw that vision before it happened, then he will not say it is God that did this and that. Sorry, I'm talking about Job. If you have in this church, let me just we have at least how many series on Job? I mean, how many different topics on Job? Like we have explained Job's calamity. Can the devil be wrong? Stopping demonic activities. So we have really looked at Job. So we are saying what we'll be saying today based on our previous understanding. But at least we are trying to make it so everybody can still follow. Job 1 verse 6, but I'm not trying to go over everything that we have studied. We have trashed out this story thoroughly because thank God for people in this our generation. This is a story that has been a mystery. Mystery. Even people like Kenyon and Kenyon, I believe they just ran away from this story. Things that anytime you look at God and Satan, they had a meeting over somebody's life. Such God cannot be trusted. You don't trust such one with your life. Not talk of eternal life. You just get to after when you're still taking eternal life, when you now go to Asgard, before you go to nowhere or somewhere, Selah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't bother to know. So before it takes you to Asgard, as you are at the Bifrost, it just throw you somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Throw you to Wakanda. So, see Job 1, 6, verse 6. There was a day when the sons of God. Anyway, let me not bother again. When the sons of God. There are two wrong things here, right? Number one, of course, it's clear that it is clear that sons of God there refers to angels. Number two, when you now go to the book of Hebrews, is there? Are you with me? When you now go to the book of Hebrews, verse chapter 1, he said, unto which of the angels said it at any time, sit thou at my son. So God never called any angel son. So two things are wrong here. Number one, sons of God there will look like he's talking about children of God. Okay, let's say it's angel. Number two, God never called any angel son. Are you with me? Please don't sleep. I'll try to make it brief. Okay. So there was a day when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Nandawala. Amen. The Lord. We now saw later in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I don't want to go over this again. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Next thing, seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, and received up into glory. So when did the angels see God? When Jesus came? So you have seen two issues here already. That Jesus told us that in angels, they desire to look into the things we have. And he said they are having meeting there. No such meetings, okay? Praise God. Okay, flow with me. So they came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? That hast thou not made an edge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and the substance is increasing in the hand. Verse 11. But put forth thy hand now and touch all he has, and he will cause thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, you can go. Cut his leg off. Cut his one hand off. Just don't kill it. Behold, all that he has is in thy power. But upon himself, put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That is the same presence of the Lord that David was praying that, cast me not away. Please, please. Satan is just going up and down, just entering and coming out. No, without nobody is stopping him. Hallelujah. So please get those series. Explaining God's calamity, stopping demonic activities. We looked at all this there. So now, but when we are clear that this has to be a vision. Are you with me? What you are seeing here is a vision. Could not have been literal. I don't know if you have seen a vision before. Of course, I know a lot of you are given to the supernatural visions, revelation, even before you became born again. Celestial spirits. Okay, I don't know if you have seen a vision before of Jesus sitting, and you saw vision of the Father sitting in center, the Son by the right hand, the Spirit by the left hand. Who has seen anything like that? You have seen the Trinity. You don't see vision. What did you guys see before? Just soon. At least I have. You have seen something like that. Like, I knew my brother has seen my other brother. He told me before, that day. He says, saw a vision. I said, what do you see? He says, he saw the Father. He's sitting. He's in the center. He says, his own share is higher. He says, his Son is the share, then the Spirit. I can remember he told me he saw that vision. But later, when we now got into the world, we saw that in the heaven, there's how many share? Just one. Praise God. So at times, a vision can be scripted in the way just to, because of the recipient. They are just trying to get an information to you. So you don't focus. That's why we say literal and figurative. They're all there. Now, so follow me. See Job 2 verse 1. Somebody saw how Job was handed over to demons. Somebody saw that vision. So it's not, please, when we say all scripture are given by the inspiration of God, it's not that somebody is just, okay, the Spirit is just on somebody, okay, it's writing. No! It's not that the Spirit is just, hold the hand of somebody, yeah, start writing. No! Something happened. Somebody else documented it. Are you with me? When you are seeing those, look at that story of dry bones of Ezekiel 37. Is it in the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel was writing it? He saw everything. He came back to, we have read these awesome books by The Final Quest, Touch and the Sword, and the Rick Joyner, right? That's read those books. Awesome. You see a vision spanning. I wonder how many days that man spends in some of those realms. The Call, Touch and the Sword, Final Quest. I didn't say you go and buy them. But they are good anyway. They are awesome. Job 2 verse 1. Again. Say again. There was a day when the Son of God came to present himself before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man? You can see that repetition. That cannot be God. Is God that dense? The same thing God said yesterday. He said, okay, he's repeating it again. Are you with me, brethren? So that is how vision looks like, okay? One that feareth God and showed evil and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although you have moved me against him. Imagine, Satan can persuade God against his own people to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered, and the Lord said, skin for skin. All that a man has will give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will cause it to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, behold, he's in thy hand. But save his life. 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown. Amen, amen. So first time, second time. Rush to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Min tantin so famire doti da to dread doti so. I choose the way of the Lord.
1 verse 19. Are you there? Want to go? Let's read. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. Word of prophecy. What's the Greek word? Word of prophecy. Word of prophecy. Everything. Logos propheticos, right? Word there is logos. Prophecy there is propheticos. What is propheticos? The book of the prophets. The book. So he said we have a more sure. That is a confirmatory word. A more sure word of prophecy. When did we look at this? Which part was that? Is it part 4? Okay, should we run part 4? 3 or part 4? So now, see verse. He said we have a more sure word of prophecy. The book of the prophet. Put your hand there. 2 Timothy 3:16 again. He said all scripture, all graphe, is given by the inspiration of God. The meaning of the two is that God ensured you have a material to study. The logos of the prophets, the logos propheticos, is saying God is responsible for that book in your hand. If you have a Bible, let me see it. Lift it up. Say God is responsible for this material. Say it does not mean that God spoke everything inside. But God is responsible for the content. Not the content of this laptop. I'm talking about the Bible. Amen. Praise God. So, things were happening. Prophets were speaking. And God and the prophets told someone else to write them down. In fact, at times, it's not even the prophet that told somebody to write them down. It is God that told someone else, write down this event. Everything is happening. They could not know left from right. They didn't know who actually killed Uzzah. They didn't know how this one happened. But God said, please write it down. Somebody will come one day to come and explain to you guys. So that is why at times, that is why we have what we call the sons of the prophet in the Old Testament. That's why we have people like that relationship between Elijah and Elisha. Elisha will naturally document everything his master is doing. Because there are places that it's only Elijah and Elisha that went there. So who else knew what happened there? Huh? E.g. now, when you are talking about, E.g. now, when you are hearing Moses went up to Mount Sinai, only Moses and God or whatever that angel is there. So who will come and tell us what happened? Moses. So Moses will like come down, tell Joshua, this is what happened. His own version. Not that as it is happening, there was a copy or there is a transcribed version of everything that is happening. Are you with me? Good. So, now, at times, the man or the prophet can do it himself. I think it is somebody like Ezekiel wrote his own material itself. But most times, it's not always the people that the books were named after that documented the book. Most times. E.g., I've told you about 1 Samuel, that 1 Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, we have even the birth of Samuel there before he was born. We have after he died there. We still have 2 Samuel, that there is no Samuel at all in 2 Samuel. You understand that? Samuel was not even alive at all in 2 Samuel. Oh, I didn't know when he died. Anyway. So, now, e.g., in the book of Job, if we find stuff that we are sure is not Job's vision, who else do we ask? Who do we ask? Answer now, be free. If we have, hold on,
If we have something in the book of Job that we are sure this thing is not the idea of Job, who should we ask? The writer. Thank you. The writer. So, at times, the writer was also... Look at that Job chapter 2 verse 7. The writer does not have to be the subject matter of the book. See that Job chapter 2 verse 7. So Satan went forth and from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Verse 8. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with her, and he sat down among the ashes. Verse 9. Then his wife came and said, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Amen. I didn't think this man would be able to write. Will he? And now, if you look at those long discussions, somebody must definitely be writing as they were speaking. What the three friends of Job? Because I think Job's calamity last year, I think it's how many months? The way some people actually look, well, it's not verbatim in the Bible, but I think it's last year, over 9 months or so. The old Job's, yes, it's not up to, it's not that much. It's not years old. But I think, well, no, 9 months is not a joke, too. It's not a joke. So, Job's calamity actually is just some months. Yeah? So, somebody, I didn't think it is after everything has happened that Job would remember everything verbatim. So, as they were speaking, somebody must be writing down. And somebody is, you know, you are wondering, what is the importance of this? You will understand before I close. So, the visions were independent of Job. So if I ask you, who wrote the book? Now, we all know that Job was a religious man, was a religious rich man. So he will have several attendants, right? A religious rich man. He will definitely have several servants, several attendants. So, and we are sure that Job, being a wealthy man, will have a writer. So someone putting down his autobiography. So that brings us to what we call the concept of scribes. Scribes. Check 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 17. Be fast. This is the first time we have that word clearly written in the Bible. Second Samuel 8, verse 17. And Zadok, the son of Ahitob, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and who? Seraiah was the scribe. Can you see duty? Right? That means that person has the duty. We have those who have the duty of priest, then someone has the duty of a scribe. And of course, you know that a scribe will be a bit knowledgeable, more than just ordinary, will not just be any person. So, now, coming back to what I'm saying. So, of course, scribe in the Hebrew just means a writer. Leave the Hebrew word. Scribe means a writer. So, if Job knew the visions in chapter 1, before all that happened, why was he still accusing God? Think about it again. Satan was not found in the words of Job at all. So, perhaps it will be the scribe of the book that saw that vision on behalf of Job. Hold on. And who could that have been? Let me ask you this question. Who else was there when Job and his friends were talking? That's question number one. I need to show answer. You can write it down. Who was? See, this is how to approach Bible. You approach it systematically. One at a time. So who else was there when Job and his friends were talking? That's number one. You have to look for that one. Number two, who else told Job that God is not the one in charge of his sickness? And number three, who was attending to them as they were discussing? Don't forget, his wife forsook him. So let's enter the book now. Job 32 verse 1. Job 32 verse 1. Are you there? So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Are you with me? Because he was righteous in his own eyes. What is that? Self-righteousness. That whoever is talking there got it right. Even without explaining, he already told us the issue. Job was righteous in his own eyes. That is just the conclusion. Because same thing the angel said of him in the vision. See that Job 1 verse 8. Go back there. Don't bother getting tired. Job 1 verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, are you with me? Hast thou consider my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and ensured evil? I have told you, ladies and gentlemen, this is not righteousness confession. May God not boast about you like this, oh. If God one day is boasting about you that, have you seen my servant, O Jude? Nobody is righteous like him on that. You are in trouble. God does not boast about your works. He boasts about his justification of you. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. By grace. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
So God does not boast about the perfectness of his children. Rather, he boasts about the blood he used to justify them. So what you saw up there is a depiction of Job's self-righteousness. A depiction of Job's self-righteousness. So go back to Job 32 verse 2. Job 32 verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Eliud, the son of Barakel, the sight of the kindred of Ram against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. So where was he all this while? See verse 3. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Oh, wow. This is so nice. They found no answer, yet they condemned Job. So he was there since. He was there with them. So they were saying these things. No, the three friends of Job, they were saying these things happened because of Job's sins. They were saying it's because Job is not righteous enough. But that is wrong. Rather, in the vision, it was clear that Satan was allowed, not because of Job's sin, but his self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. See, Job 32, verse 4. Verse 4. Now, Eliud had waited till Job had what? Spoken, because they were elder than he. So he was there all this way. Verse 5. When Eliud saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Eliud, the son of Baruch the Buzite, answered and said unto and said, I am young, and you are old. Wherefore, I was afraid, and does not shield you my words. So, he had an opinion since, right? Are you with me? See verse 7. I say, days should speak, multitude of years should teach wisdom. But verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and what? Inspiration of the Almighty. Give them what? So he most likely has seen that vision of chapter 1 and chapter 2. Follow me. See verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show you my opinion. Verse 11. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reason. Why you search out what to say? You, I attended unto you. Can you see that? And behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Are you with me? Good. Please don't sleep. Lest you should say, we have found out wisdom. God trust him down, not man. 33 verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? 33 verse 13 now. 33 verse 13. So you could see from this analogy that this guy was there. Number two, he is speaking. Now, please, everybody, heads up. In that scenario, that something suddenly happened to Job, how else could you have known the writing? In that age and time, when there was no redemption, when there is no Paul, no Peter, no revelation, how else could a man have known what actually happened? Vision? Good. Now, see. 33. Please try not to sleep. This is short, but there is something I want you to get. Not really in this story, but this story will lead you to what I want you to get. 33 verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matter. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. So God will first instruct a man from his heart. If he didn't hear, then the next step. Are you with me? He said, God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceive it not. Then, so if man refuse to hearken to God in his heart, the next one will come. Verse 15, in a what? In a dream, in a vision of the night, when this sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. That what? He may withdraw man from his purpose. And hide pride from man. So how does God correct man? Instruction. He will open his ear to instruction. He didn't correct anybody with evil. He will open his ears to what? Instruction. See next verse, verse 18. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. Wow. How? Instruction. And his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastised also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones was with strong pain, so that his life abhorred bread, and his soul danted meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. 22. Want to go, everybody? Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer. So this guy was saying, God does not correct people with sickness. Are you with me? Now, see, but with instruction. He said he will shast. All those things you are seeing in verse 20, his bone, his everything, is instruction. He said in the dream, right? In the vision of the night, he will open his ear so that he can withdraw him away from his purpose, from pride, to hide pride from man. So God will come to him to show him the way out. Now, so if he refused to hear that one, then there is God still have a way out. First, what's the first way of God? He will instruct in your heart. So if you refuse to hear that one, what will happen here according to this man? He will what? A vision, a dream, right? Now, if you still refuse to hear that one, see the next thing. 33 verse 23. If there be a what? Messenger with him, and what? Interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his what? Uprightness. Then is gracious unto him, and seeth, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from what? Going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you see mercy here? Can you see mercy? That is what the guy was showing. That God reproved people so that what? so that they can not, I mean, so that they don't fall into that calamity. But the reproof of God is not with calamity. Are you with me? It's with instruction. Good. See, never, sir. Verse 28, he said, we deliver his soul from going to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God often times. Wow. Say often times. Say often times. Wow, thank you. Say, I don't like instruction. Say, I don't like instruction. Say, often times with man to bring his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, O thy peace, I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. So others were condemning him further. 33, say, if not, hearken unto me, O thy peace, and I shall teach you wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. See, a man. That's a man of God. See 36, verse 16. I will clear it for you very soon. See 36, verse 16. So, even so, there's something that is in this place that you just must get. Even so, would he have removed thee out of the straight into a broad place, wherein there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the... Come on, I didn't like when you don't follow me. IJ, are you alive? Come on, you can just jump up and shake the leg that Jesus gave you. You understand what I'm saying? Just, you know, come on. It's VG. In the defense, we do VG with the word, right? VG with the word. We look at the word. Do you know, if I show you my system, I already have part 7, part 8, part 9 ready for you. Ready. Well, I promise you today that I will not really exceed this time. So let's wrap this up. Come on. So, where are we? Verse what? 17. Say, but see those words. See those play of words. Okay? This name that I'm calling will be in these messages for eternity. So, don't fulfill the judgment of the... Okay, so read here. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Wow. So that means that judgment does not actually belong to you. But you have put yourself into the gallows of the wicked. It's not yours, Job. But you have fulfilled the judgment. What the things that wicked men does that makes them rejected, you have done the same thing. Self-righteousness. Saying I don't need God. Saying I can do it myself. Job was a man that was given to multiple confessions of sin. See, verse 18. Now, read verse 18. Everybody want to go? Because there is wrath. Stop. Say there. Now, he said, because there is wrath. So, wrath is not God that brought wrath. Wrath is already on ground. You are the one that entered. God has been trying all this while to prevent you. There is wrath. Now say, beware, lest he take thee, lest the rod take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. So once you fulfill the judgment of the wicked, God will be powerless in saving you. Once you have done the same thing that the wicked, don't forget, this is talking about what? Self-righteousness. Which we can relate very well to unbelief. He doesn't believe in the sacrifice. He kept offering sacrifice every day in case my children have sinned. The things that I fear has happened unto me. So he said there is wrath. So beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. So, and once that happens, God will not be able to help you. See verse 23. Want to go. Chapter 37, verse 23. Everybody, let's read this. Want to go? Yes. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. Keep reading. He is excellent in power and in judgment. and in plenty of jealousy. He will not what? Afflict. Praise God. Hallelujah. Checkmate. That is new creation reality from Job for you. He said, God will not. That is the character of God. He taught him the character of God. That he is not God. So, Elihu, maybe most likely, was the one that saw that vision of how Satan dealt with Job based on Job's confession. So perhaps he could have been the scribes too. Now, these are the reasons why some books in the Bible are clearer than the rest. Are you with me? These are the reasons why some books in the Bible are actually clearer than the rest. Now, 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 5. Something that we have studied before. Let's see it again. 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 5. Let me know when you are there.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes. Madam, sit up. Come on. Sit up. Rejoice, don't sleep.
Glory to God.
Are you there? Chapter 6, verse 5. Once again, let's read. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, even on harps, on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. Okay, let me read the rest. And when they came to Nacor's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him. Please focus on this, not just on the summary, but on the details. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of the Lord. Verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it into the house of Obededom and the what? Gittite. 11, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obededom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obededom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obededom and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of the Lord. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obededom into the city of David. Let's read verse 13. Want to go? Yes. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord and had gone 6 steps, he offered, he sacrificed oxen and. Now, stop. I won't say anything. Just open 1 Chronicles 15. 15, verse 12. Don't forget everything you read there. IJ, are you looking at it? Good, well done. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 12. 1 Chronicles 15, 12. Are you there? Are you there, somebody? Good. Let's read this one slowly and this one together. Together? Want to go? Yes? And said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So which one was clearer? Account of Samuel or account of Chronicles? Chronicles, right? So this one, Chronicles told us exactly why that guy died. Then he told them exactly what they did to what? Make things right. So why was this one clearer? Go again to 2 Samuel 24. See another example, 24 verse 1. This is can the Bible be wrong? 2 Samuel 24 verse 1. Let me know when you are there. We'll read this one together. 2 Samuel 24 verse 1. You will love your Bible. That's what one thing I will do for you. 24 verse 1. I want to go. Let's read. Yes. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. See the account of Chronicles again. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. Come on. Don't sleep on me. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. Don't forget what you read in that place. Don't forget, please. He said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. See 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. 1 to go, everybody, yes? And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Wow. Why? Again. Which one was clearer? Chronicles, right? Chronicles was clear that God is not the one moving people to do bad, then God will not punish them. He said, no, he said that is Satan. So why was Chronicles clearer? Follow me. So 1 Samuel was a record of who? The prophets. Prophets are the one always chanting some rubbish. God changed what he earlier told Eli. You know, we did that on Wednesday, right? That I, the Lord, say you will be a priest in my house forever. I, the Lord, say, so be it. Not again. For them that honor me, I will honor. Who said that? A prophet, right? The spirit of the Lord left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul. Who said that? A prophet. 1 Samuel. Now, so the scribe will write what people like Samuel, Nathan, told him. Are you with me? Who can think? Why do you think Chronicles was different? If I tell you. Think now. If 2 Samuel was a record, because you see several stories that were just documented. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. The same thing was just said in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. What is the difference? So, the writer of 1 Samuel, we are sure that is the prophets, because it even started from Eli, those times. But 1 Chronicles, where did this start? No, start. So why do you think the account of Chronicles was clear? Follow me. So when I'm saying Samuel, Nathan, people like that, they will tell those scribes what to write down. So that's the scribe of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings was writing for the prophets. So also the scribe of Chronicles was writing for the kings. Kings themselves. That is the legal document of the land. Follow me. So, the scribe will only write what the king told him. So, glory to God. Why the prophet was saying God moved David to number Israel? David searched for that. He said, no, it's not the Lord. It's Satan. It's a revelation. So, why the prophet said God killed Uzzah for no reason? David searched for that. So, it is the law of sin and death at work here. David searched that. Why did this thing happen? So it's not, you know, the prophet, that for Samuel, just to do that, some Samuel just to do that, and they just, because God has blessed Obed-Edom, and David went back to carry the ark, and now he was rejoicing. But the account of Chronicles told you exactly. Say it's because you guys did not do it. Are you with me? Keep follow me. So, David searched and found out that it was the law at work. Now, you will see why David was quoted in the New Testament, and Samuel was not quoted for anything except for maybe from Hebrews 11. Nathan was not even mentioned at all. Let me give you something. Maybe this one will help you further. All that story of 2 Samuel 11 of David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12 of the way Nathan rebuked David and how the baby died, 2 Samuel 13 of Ammon and Tamar, Absalom and mother Tamar, 2 Samuel 14 of Absalom pursuing David and slept with his wives, 2 Samuel 15 till Absalom was killed. Guess what? Go and search Chronicles. They are not there. All those consequences of David's sin. Just go and search Chronicles when you get home. Everything was omitted. They were not recorded in the book. David told the scribe, don't write these ones. That is not God. He has not dealt with us after our sin. That is not God judging me. Don't write it. The prophet wrote their own. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not input sin. Write, he told them, say, write this one in the book of Psalm so that Nathan can read. Write it that if God will mark iniquity, not even Nathan will stand. Write it there. That's what you write. Say, but there is forgiveness. So all those punishments were not from God. David said, don't write it. Say, man after God's heart. Now, I'm not saying a man that sinned, no, but a man that understood God's concept of forgiveness. Praise God. Are you with me? So, rush back to that 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. You see something here, which is very sad. Wherefore, as thou despise the commandments of the Lord, this is the reproof of Nathan to David, to do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with his sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with his sword. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. With the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, thou hast and hast taken the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be thy wife. And thus said the Lord God, I behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and will give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with them with thy wives in the sight of the sun, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So, don't forget, in the Old Testament, you saw Achan committed a sin. But Achan, nothing happened to Achan until Joshua said, until Joshua designed, you are the one. So, it's who brought the repercussion of the sin on Achan? Joshua. You see people like Korah, Dathan, and Abraham, they have done whatever they did do. It was somebody that said, if I be a man of God, let ground open up and swallow you. And it happened. So, although we have the law at work, but that law of Moses, that law of sin and death, we wait for a man, for a prophet, for an angry prophet to make it work. Now, this is what I want to say. In this story of David, who sinned? Everybody, who sinned? So, if the prophet could pardon guilty David, why can't he spare an innocent child? If it is God that wants to judge, if it is justice at work, who should die? How did the punishment move to the head of the child? How? The prophet. So if the prophet can pardon the man that is guilty, how much more Couldn't he have pardoned an innocent child? Are you with me? So, to tell you that it is the prophet looking for somewhere to pour his wrath on, somebody must die. Say, I came here for somebody to die. David said, I have sinned. Okay, say, you will not die. But that baby will die. It's not God, brethren. If it is justice that want to happen, it is David that will go. So, I have told you, brethren, the law is not fear. Okay, it's already past three. Wow. The law makes men to pay for what he never did. Who is the man that God delights in? The man that understands forgiveness. Not the man that sins, no, but the man that understands and teaches the mercy of God. We are reading Psalms of David today. What do we have to read about Nathan? Nothing. Nothing. I know he's hearing me now in heaven. He said, bros, now why do you say this thing again? Condemnation will make your ministry useless before God. You're always doing sin investigator. How did he do it? When did he do it? How did it happen? When did it happen? Who sent you? Sin investigator, man of God. The Lord made all his prophecy about sin, about people's issue. But David spoke about the Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when the New Testament people they were speaking about him, no, you will not find Bathsheba anywhere in the New Testament. Uriah, you will not. Yeah, he died. Sorry, he died. No, he died. The writer would have said, if he didn't die that day, he would have died on that day. He just died. Leave it. Bless the man to whom the Lord will not input sin. Glory to God. See, this is Bible. I would just have to say it now. See, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. I'm still going there. See, Exodus 20 verse 5. So, that's the case of generational curses that we saw last time. See that place again. 20 verse 5. Are you there? Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Ah! And I told you a while ago, I said, that means when you get to the gate of heaven, when you say, ah, God, now I'm holy now, I've confessed all my own sins. God, I say, you're right. What are the sins of your father? Say, eh? That will follow too. You don't know. You must call your grandfather that has died. Please tell me all your sins. Let me confess them. Say the law. It's not fair. It's not meant to be fair. That's why it's just it's brutality. So now, and Prophet Ezekiel tried to correct this. This is not from God. That is only the soul that has sinned that should die. That's Ezekiel 18 verse 12. See it again. Let's see it again. Brother Michael, play the keyboard. I'm done. Let's wrap this up. So, the revelation of the writer, will determine the clarity of the book. The revelation of the writer will determine the what? Clarity. So we have that way out of 1 Chronicles because it was for the kings. David wrote them. David knew God. Nathan did not know God. He knew the law. He knew Moses. He knew accusations. He didn't know about justification. So see Ezekiel 18:12. Moses has said, I will visit them with iniquity up to the third and fourth generation. But Ezekiel now said in Ezekiel 18 verse 2, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also is the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall what?
It shall die.
So he said, if you can read that place down, he said, actually verse 12, he said, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And no, there will be no cross multiplication. But that is not enough. Why? Because everybody sinned. Now, what happened is that Moses went for that. He said, you will even die for your father's sins. You know that? But he said, no. Let nobody die for his father's sins. So let everyone die for his own sin. But one day, Jeremiah now came. He said, no. He said, God has found a ransom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, nobody needs to die even for his own sins again. Jeremiah chapter 29, right? It's 29. 31, 29. Come on. See this? I'm done. 31, 29. In those days, they shall say no more. In those days, they shall what? Say no more. But MFM, they are still saying today. So what's their problem? Some churches are still saying today. But years ago, Jeremiah, that lived even before Jesus, he said, you will say this thing no more. Generational curses. You will say it no more. He said that somebody will be confessing the sin of his father, that will be gathering together in Eagle Square, say, let's pray. Our fathers in Nigeria, they have sinned. That's why bad things is happening. He said, you will say it no more. How many years ago? Say it no more. Come on, say it no more. See the next verse. Say the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children teach shall be set on edge. That said, verse 30, say, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Everyone that eateth sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. 31. Say, but behold, what? The days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, glory, and with the house of Judah, not according to Exodus 20. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with them, house of Israel, after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their inward part. Write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach no more. Every man is neighbor. And every man is... For they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest. Why? Said the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But do you know, it took how many years between Moses and Jeremiah? People have been condemned, dying. Particularly, if you read those story of that second king, you will see how people they will say because his father is wicked, something too will happen to him. Plenty. It was not David that he showed the character of God of them all. That now said, do we see have anybody in the house of Saul? That what? I'm showing mercy. You don't know that story? Mephibosheth, right? So that's to depict what? The character of God. It has been said before that the whole house of Saul, they should all die. We say no. David said no. Say, is there anybody still there? I will show him mercy. That is our God. He does not punish for sins committed. So Moses misyanned. Ezekiel tried to correct. Jeremiah, he sealed it. He said, no. He said, nobody is to die for his own sin. God has found a ransom. Say, God has found a ransom. Say, today, we exist justified. Say, I am forever insulated, immune from the consequences of my sins, of my father's sins. Say, there is nothing that, like generational wa'ala. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You don't need to break the generational curse. You believe it off. You don't break it. You don't pray some prayer points. You are energizing demons. To pray it at all is unbelief. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We set men free with this light. We set men free with this light. We set men free. This knowledge does not end with us. We take it out there. We set men free. We set men free. We say, hey, no. Enough of prayers. Prayers cannot do for you what God has done for you in Christ. Oh. Because it's so key. Not only is man immune from his praying sin. Say your own sin self. I will not use it against you. That's checkmate. Oh, Lord Jesus. We just singing the Holy Ghost. We are seated. We are done with the video. We are done with everything. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yeah, precious Jesus. I thank you for your blood, precious Jesus.